Good morning, and welcome to the Holy Ghost Lutheran Church radio broadcast. Today is August the 30th, 2020, and we are here to worship the Lord. So we're going to get into our worship, our summer sermon series based on the Lord's Prayer petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," continues with the bread of the day being income. Yes, the daily bread which puts bread on our tables. But let's first confess our sins and then celebrate the good news of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are here in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may more lovingly celebrate the goodness and the grace that you have for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please pray with me. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Receive this good news as if from God himself. Almighty God in his mercy has given his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us of all of our sins. As a minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I get to declare that our sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Amen. Now may the grace of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Please bow. Father God, we are ever grateful for the resources that we have, and we pray that we would use them wisely and in ways that are pleasing unto you. In this unstable time, when some people are stretched to the limits, lead those who have more with a heart of compassion to give, and guide those who have less to the means necessary for them to be sustained. This we pray in the powerful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading today is the feeding of the 5,000 from Matthew 14. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus said to them, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. All ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, the summer sermon series continues with that daily bread of the week being income. And I suppose that all of you are just itching for a message on tithing, right? Hey, let's not go there. Let's not go there. Don't turn me off. Don't turn off the radio just yet. We'd probably hear maybe or want to hear anything but a sermon on tithing. So we'll mention it, but it's not about tithing. More so, it's going to be about our income and our money. And at times we refer to income and money as dough or bread, as in daily bread, or as in loaves and fishes in our Bible story. Income certainly puts bread on the table, right? We all need some sort of income to survive, and it provides the buying power for all of those other daily breads we need. Home, clothes, furniture, transportation, insurance, health care, and everything else we require for our day-to-day sustenance. So whether it's from a job, a retirement account, a trust fund, maybe a rich aunt, a sugar daddy, or a sugar mama, income is a necessity. But instead of just talking about income and money, we're also going to frame it as our resources. And specifically, as we focus on today's Bible story, multiplying our resources for others. The feeding of the 5,000 is actually about how we all need resources in which to live. Not just the haves, but also those who do not have. So let's lean into this Bible story as it challenges us to consider multiplying our resources with others. The feeding of the 5,000 is one of only a handful of stories that are recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's significant in and of itself because it uplifts this miracle as one of the great stories of our Lord and Savior. The story begins with some good news, followed by some challenging news, ending with more good news. So it starts off with a whole slew of people following Jesus, a mass of humanity in need of being healed and cared for. Jesus says, quote, that he has compassion on them. The story says Christ our Lord had compassion on them. So he attends to a ton of their needs. That's the initial good news, Jesus caring for them. But I'm supposing that there were so many people in so much need that the day went into overtime, because we're talking about 5,000 men, the story says, not counting the women and children. So the number could have easily been 7, 8, 10, 12,000 people total. The problem intensifies as it starts to get a little late in the day. Darkness soon comes. They're out in the boonies, middle of nowhere. Tummies are beginning to growl. So the disciples encourage Jesus to send them away so that they could go back to town and catch a bite before it gets too late. This same story, recorded in the book of John, says that not even half of a year's wages would buy enough to give everyone just a little bit of bread. So they're already talking about serious money. They're already talking about real resources. So after a little conversation with Jesus, the disciples offered up our first faith point of three faith points that we will visit today. Our first faith point is multiplying our resource with others. And they say, verse 17, we have nothing. We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish. Doesn't that just sound like us sometimes? We think that we don't have anything when we actually do. So here again what the disciples said. They said, we have nothing. You know, last time I checked, five loaves and two fish, that's not nothing. That's something. So often we think that we have nothing. So how can we even think about multiplying our resources with others when we don't even think that we have enough, or let's just say we don't think we have much? I have a childhood memory of when we lived in Corpus Christi in my younger years. We didn't have a whole lot. It was pretty much paycheck to paycheck for my parents. They were good money managers with the little that we had. We never went without the basics. My mom babysat three kids for $2 a day, $2 each, total of $6. My dad was the primary breadwinner, and he was an insurance agent who ran a route going door to door collecting weekly and monthly insurance premiums. For fun on weekends, we'd go to the beach or to the Nueces River. We'd play in the water. We'd eat bologna sandwiches for lunch and drink down a Coca-Cola in a bottle. That was a big time. All to say, we didn't have a lot. Once a month, one time a month, we'd go out to eat. There was a favorite place. I believe it's still in business in Corpus. It's called Frank's Spaghetti House, which we really, really liked. And get this, back in the day, we'd eat a family of four for 15 bucks. Dad would pay the bill, place the tip, and on many occasions, he'd hunt down the busboy who looked to be a poor soul. And my dad, out of the little bit that we had, would give him a quarter. And then he'd explain to him that it was for him, not the waitress, not the owner. The young man would light up like a Christmas tree as if you had given him a $100 bill today. That was back when 25 cents meant a lot to someone like my dad, who didn't have a lot to begin with, and then given to someone who had a whole lot less. We may think we have little or nothing, but to another person, it can be a huge thing. Hey, remember how a bucket gets filled up with water? Yeah, one drop at a time. I see the sign above Main Street this week. It uplifts Fredericksburg School Mentoring. It reads, "Mentor by giving minutes a week." I mentored for 3 years in that program, and it's so true. I often don't think that I have a lot of extra time on my hands, but I was able to find 20 minutes a week for 6 months out of the year for those 3 years. And it was such a tiny amount, but it meant so much to those boys as well as to me. Faith point number one, don't ever think that you have nothing. Don't ever think you have nothing to offer and be multiplied for others. Maybe it's a short prayer, a brief ear, 20 minutes, or even a quarter. Faith point number two, a little goes a long ways in Jesus' hands. When the disciples say, "We have nothing but five loaves and two fish," Jesus says in verse 18, "Bring them to me." Ah, a little bit in our hands is multiplied in Jesus' hands. Have you ever noticed the value of something and how it differs depending upon whose hands it's in? A basketball in my hands is worth about 20 bucks. In the hands of professional player LeBron James, it's worth 40 million. A football in my hands is worth maybe $15, but in the hands of a Tom Brady, it's worth 50, 60 million. A guitar in my hands might as well be a canoe paddle, but in the hands of Garth Brooks, it's worth golden record millions. Five loaves and two fish in my hands might feed me and my wife, but in the hands of Jesus, it fed the multitudes. You see, your seemingly little in your hands, or in your heart, or in your wallet, or in your life, is exponentially more and stronger with God's hand on it. For example, there's been something I've been wondering about these days, something I've been wanting to ask, and I'm just going to ask, was it you? Huh? What was it you? It's got to be somebody. Was it you? Was it you who brought five cans of tuna in your hand and placed it in the food pantry box in front of the church office? Then someone else added six cans of ranch-style beans, and then someone else contributed three boxes of cereal and two jars of applesauce? These products in our hands are seemingly small, but added together and then put into God's hands, supplemented three or four families in need. Hey, or was it you? Was it you who had $20 in your hand, but with God's hand on it, it turned into $21,114.67 for the Kindernest special offering over the summer and in this spring? Was it you who wrote a $100 check with your hand, but with God's hand on it, it became $3,600 for the Needs Council? And the same could be said for the grand totals of over $1,000 for the Grace Center and $400 for the back-to-school backpacks, or $300 for Lutheran World Relief, or $250 for the Aromo Church, or $220 for the food pantry, and for the $5 collected for the Gideon Bibles. Are you kidding me? On top of all of that, during these past months of the COVID, you have contributed to the funds for the mission and ministry of Holy Ghost Lutheran Church. Unbelievably strong offerings as we have still continued to be in the COVID, but also to be and make disciples, being a vital church suspended from worship in these strange and challenging times. What was it you who have continued to contribute? Was it you who felt that it was just a little or a lot, but with God's hand on it, it became so much more of an outpouring of great ministry and outreach? And you know, no amount is too small. Hey, I even wonder, I don't want to know who, I even wonder though, who gave that 67 cents to Kindernest that kicked it over the $21,000 mark? Or I wonder who gave that $5 that we got for the Gideons to buy a Bible that will be placed in a hotel? I'm just saying, $5 in my hands won't even buy a Whataburger meal. But in the hands of God, it can save lives eternally. You talk about multiplication of your resources. Hey, thank you for whoever gave that $5 and whoever gave that 67 cents. Yes, faith point number two is your little goes a long way in the hands of Jesus. And finally, faith point number three, 12 baskets left over. All 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 miles, however many it was, all were filled, and the story says, quote, they were filled full. And then they collected 12 baskets full of leftovers. For real? For real? You see, when we offer the little or the nothing that we may think that we have or don't have, and then place it in God's hands, God multiplies the result. And then there is yet an unbelievable supply of leftovers. My family has been tithing our income since 1995. 25 years. And I know I said we weren't going to preach about tithing. I'm not talking to you about tithing. I'm just giving an example of this with respect to how God provides. 25 years, and believe it or not, we have always had plenty left over. Matter of fact, an abundance of leftover. Plenty to put two kids through college at the same time. Ample to buy a camper and yank it all over the western United States. Sufficient to vacation to New York, New England, Niagara Falls, Seattle, San Francisco, Hawaii, an Alaskan cruise, and to take the kids to the Rose Bowl parade one year. Now, we couldn't always do what we wanted to do all the time. Couldn't run with the Joneses or the Schmitz or the Garcias. Couldn't eat out five times a week. But we still had plenty of leftovers. And truthfully, I'm not sure how we did it. Don't know exactly how we pulled that off, but it has always worked out almost miraculously. Yeah. I do know how we did it. It was a miracle. God made it work. 12 baskets left over, the story says. And how? God makes the ends meet. And when we offer the little or the nothing that we may think we have or don't have, and then place it in God's hands, God multiplies the results, and there is yet an unbelievable bounty left over. And He still does those miracles, those miraculous multiplications, when we entrust our resources, when we share our hearts, our time, our talents, our gifts, energy, money, and faith. I think about the climax when it comes to Christmas Eve services. The lights have been lowered. Darkness fills the room. One candle is lit. And you would think that if you shared your light with the person beside you, your flame would be less. It would be diminished. But no! As you share your gift one to another, and then they to the next, and to the next, and to the next, candlelight is not divided. It is multiplied as the dark room gives way to the light. May Jesus multiply your bread, your resources, to brighten the darkness of others around you. Amen. Amen.